Last week, we talked about the way of discipleship. And we talked about the way that Jesus made disciples and the reasons He made disciples and the way and the reasons that we should as well. Today, we want to talk about the call to discipleship. What does Jesus call us to? What is discipleship? What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? I'll warn you at the outset, this isn't gentle. This isn't all rose petals and sunshine and rainbows. This is something much deeper and much more important. As we think about our call to discipleship, Tim Woodruff tells the story. He says, "Recently, I received an invitation to study the Bible with a couple who wanted to know more about Jesus. They gave me directions to their house, told me that the house had been subdivided into apartments, gave me directions that I should go in the front door and go up the steps and knock on the door at the top of the steps." He said he was eager for that Bible study, wanted to accept the invitation, wrote down everything, and had all of the details to get to their apartment. Well, the night of the study came, and it was dark and rainy, and he went to the neighborhood, and he was trying to find the right house number, and he found a house that he thought looked like the right one. And he walked up to the front door, and just as he is told, he walked right in. Only instead of stairs and apartment doors, he found he was in someone's living room. She looked a little startled to see him there. Surprised her quite a bit. Surprised him as well. He muttered a quick apology, went back out to the street, and finally found the proper apartment and had a good study. But from that, he learned some important lessons about invitations. You see, an invitation must be extended. Someone's got to invite someone else to do something or to go somewhere. There's got to be something said. If you plan your big birthday party but you never invite anyone, you're not going to have much of a birthday party. No one will know to even come. Also, it must be accepted. The someone else that's been invited has to accept that invitation. They have to agree to it. And then the third aspect, and this one is also very important, an invitation must include an understanding of what the invitation involves. I don't want to pick on anyone here that's involved with Amway or Tupperware, as they used to invite people over. Oh, come over, we'll have dinner. And then the old bait and switch. You get there and find out you're being sold something instead. Well, we certainly wouldn't want to do that to someone with Bible study. Well, come over for dinner, and then ambush them with a Bible study. But we have to know what the invitation involves. Where are we going and what are we going to do when we get there? What's going to happen so that we're not stunned or shocked? Going to the right place at the right time. Being prepared to do the right thing. Have you ever been invited to something and you didn't know what the activity was, and you got there and you were not dressed right for that activity? You know, maybe they were planning to go spelunking in a cave and you came dressed for a dinner party. That doesn't work well. You have to be prepared for what's going to take place when you get there. How sad it would be to have the invitation extended, to have it accepted, but then to go to the wrong place. Or to show up at the wrong time and miss the appointment altogether. So invitations are important, and these details about the invitation are essential for the invitation to work right. We want to look at the invitation that Jesus gave, the invitation to follow Him. Jesus called many people to follow Him. We see passages throughout the Gospels, Matthew chapter 4, Matthew chapter 9, John 1, Luke 9, Mark 8 that was read to us. Jesus calls for people to be followers of Him. The invitation was general in many of these cases. It was just, hey, come follow me. The details weren't always given right up front. But as we follow Jesus, we'll hear His teaching and He'll relay even more of what additional invitations He's offering. Sometimes He invited specific people, like Peter and Andrew and James and John, like Matthew, like Philip. And He went up to certain individuals and said, hey, you follow me. Other times it was just to those He was teaching, hey, come follow me. Sometimes He gave a little bit of what was involved, the cost, the details of what it would mean to follow Him. What we have to understand is that the call to follow Jesus was rooted in His authority. He had the authority to command. He would have had the authority to force someone to follow Him, but He didn't. He just called for them, follow me. And then they chose, follow or don't follow. Bonhoeffer said this about Jesus and His authority. He's talking about Matthew following Jesus. It is Jesus who calls, and because it is Jesus, Levi follows at once. That's Matthew, Levi. This encounter is a testimony to the absolute, direct, and unaccountable authority of Jesus. There is no need of any preliminaries, no other consequence but obedience to the call. Because Jesus is the Christ, He has the authority to call and to demand obedience to His Word. And we see that time and again. We see Jesus' authority even to the point where He commanded the demons, and they did what they were told. He commanded the weather, and it did what it was told. And He commanded men. Some of them did what they were told, but not all. Now it is amazing, isn't it, that of all of creation, everything that He created, only mankind doesn't do what we're told. We should take that lesson from the rest of creation, from the rest of nature, and do what God tells us to do. This call to follow Jesus, just because He called, that's enough motivation for us to follow Him. He doesn't promise, in this case with Levi, He doesn't promise, oh, everything will be sunshine and roses and rainbows, everything will be wonderful if you'll follow me. If you do what I tell you, you won't have any problems in life. He doesn't make any promises of that kind. He just says, follow me. And Levi got up and followed Him. He doesn't paint a glowing picture of what discipleship will do for you. He doesn't plead or try to sell or try to persuade or manipulate. He just says, follow me. The power of the invitation in this case is that Jesus is the one extending it. But we also notice that this call to follow required some sort of a decision to be made on the one called. You know, that's the case with every invitation we've ever received. Whatever someone invites us to, we have to decide, will I go or won't I? Am I interested or not? When Jesus called someone to follow him, they had to respond. We see several different occasions where he calls people to follow him. Some made excuses. Oh, well, yeah, I'll follow you, but let me go tell the people at my house goodbye before I go. Oh, let me take care of my father and bury him before I go. Always, it demanded a response. Some people gave the right response. They left and went and followed Jesus. Others, like in Mark chapter 10 and verses 17 through 22, with the rich young ruler. Others went away sorrowful instead of following Jesus. We need to think about which one of these we're going to be. Jesus calls. What kind of response will we give? There were those who accepted the invitation. They were willing to leave whatever they had going on in their life and follow him. And there were others who rejected the invitation. They wouldn't pay the price necessary to follow Jesus. The call he made to follow him was a call to discipleship. He didn't really mean just come walk along with me and watch me and enjoy the show. When he said, follow me, he meant a lot more than that. He meant you come with me, you go where I go, you learn what I teach, and you learn to do what I do. You learn, in essence, to be like me. That's really following him, truly following him. When he called these people, and they chose to follow him, they were called disciples. Now, the word disciple is used some 260-odd times in the Bible, in the Gospels alone. Often it's the 12, the apostles that we know them better as. But still, even after he called them apostles, they still on many occasions are referred to as his disciples. By him, by themselves, by others. But often, it was the wider group of people who was listening to his teaching. The crowd that would follow him from place to place, wanting to learn more about him. But when we accept the call of Jesus, if we will accept the call of Jesus, he calls us to become a disciple. Jesus doesn't call us to be pew warmers. He doesn't call us just to be believers. He doesn't call us to be Christians in name only. He calls us to live out a deep faith in him based on what we've learned about who he is and what he wants from us. So we consider some of the details of Christ's invitation. From Mark chapter 8, verse 34 and following, the scripture that was read just a few minutes ago. Appreciate Mike reading that for us. As we look at this passage, and we consider what he says there, he makes it very clear that being a disciple, following him, is not the easy road. It's the difficult path. It's the challenging way to go. But he explains that it's well worth it in the long run. Even though in the short term, there may be problems. Even to the point, he says, of losing your life. But the alternative to reject that call, to reject discipleship, to not follow him, means that in the last day, He will not know who you are when you stand before God in judgment. The choice is ours. The call to discipleship that He makes here in Mark chapter 8 and verse 34. Notice this was words to a crowd. He calls for any of them who are willing to follow Him. But He wants them to be sure they know what they're getting into, so that they can count the cost. He didn't want the people of His day, or for us today for that matter, to get the wrong idea about what it meant to accept His call. It's been so long, I almost forget, but you remember collect calls? And they would tell you, there's a call from, and then the name of the person that was calling you, and it's a collect call. Do you want to accept the charges? And you could say yes or no. But they let you know before connecting the call that it was going to cost you. There were going to be charges. Now, they didn't always tell you how much those charges were going to be. That might have surprised you a little bit. But Jesus didn't want people to accept His call and then be surprised when they received the bill. So He lets us know here in Mark chapter 8 what it means to accept His call. The following is addressed to anyone. He says, anyone who would come after Me. Anybody. So we can learn from it as well as those who were in His original audience. The call is a call to deny self. You've got to deny yourself first. You've got to give up your life. You've got to give up the things that are important to you to take on the things that are important to Him. William Barclay in the Gospel of Matthew says, to deny oneself means in every moment of life to say no to self and yes to God. To deny oneself means once, finally, and for all to dethrone self and to enthrone God. To deny oneself means to obliterate self as the dominant principle of life, and to make God the ruling principle, more the ruling passion of life. The life of constant self-denial is the life of constant ascent to God. And what we have to understand is that this call goes against every bit of our nature that we've had since the time of our birth. Little babies, as soon as they're born, they come out to the world wanting what they want. They cry if they're hungry. They cry if they're cold. They cry if they're lonely. They cry if their diaper's wet. They cry, and they call it in me, me, me. Give me what I want. And we were there, every one of us. We were selfish to the core. And our parents may have tried to train some of that selfishness out of us along the way. But still, so many times, deep in our hearts, we want what we want for us. And Jesus calls us to quit wanting for ourselves and start wanting for Him. And that's a challenge. That's a challenge that no man on earth since he left this earth has been able to fully comply with. We struggle with it. It doesn't matter how long we've been disciples of Jesus, how long we've been trying to live the Christian life. We struggle with self. And if we deny that, then we lie as well as suffering from a desire of selfishness. We struggle with that. That's the call that he makes, though. Deny yourself. And secondly, take up a cross. What is a cross? We use that term really loosely today. We talk about some struggle that we have, some health condition, some person at work that nags us and bothers us, a neighbor that we have trouble with, and we say, well, that's just a cross I have to bear. But what is a cross? A cross, a real cross, had only one purpose: execution. Oh, I know we all have thorns in the flesh. See, that's what Paul would call it, a thorn in the flesh. That's what all those other, that's what our health issues, that's what our neighbor that's a problem, a family member that's what those, that doesn't mean that they're not a problem. They are. But those aren't the cross that we're called to bear. As I was looking for images, I found one where they had all these crosses, people carrying these crosses, and they would say all these different things about how they're having to bear, financial problems. They're having to bear health problems. They're having to bear mental problems. They're having to bear all of these different things. When Jesus says, take up your cross, that's not what he's talking about. Now, the Bible does talk about bearing our own load, and it talks about bearing one another's burdens, and those kinds of things. But when it comes to the cross that Jesus calls us to take up and follow him, that's a cross of execution. We have to die to ourselves daily. Take up your cross daily and follow me. It's not enough to just do it one time and say, okay, yeah, I'll follow you, Jesus. I'll take it. Okay, I'll deny myself this time. Every day, we have to get up and make sure that our old sinful self is still dead and buried, and that Christ is living in us. We have to do that every day. See, the cross was an instrument of death. It wasn't just a burden. When Jesus carried his cross, he wasn't just carrying a sack of heavy stuff. He was actually carrying the instrument that would be used to put him to death. And when he calls on us to do the same, we need to recognize what he's really calling us to. Jesus defines discipleship not just as self-denial, but as voluntary murder of self. We kill, not physically. He doesn't want us to physically kill ourselves. That's not what we're talking about. But spiritually, in terms of our will, we execute it. We put our will to death. And we live according to him. Lose our lives for his sake so that we can find it. But if we want to save our life, we'll lose it. That's what he describes here in Mark chapter 8. And of course, the call to discipleship is to follow. Not just pick up your cross and die and then do nothing else because you're dead. But actually become like him. Follow him where he goes. And again, this following, just like the cross was not a physical, his was physical. He actually literally died a physical death for us. He doesn't call on us, all of us, to do that. Although if that becomes necessary, he expects that as well. But with the following too. When he says follow me, he doesn't mean we should all take a trip over to the Holy Land and walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Although, that could be an enjoyable and educational trip, I'm sure. That's not what he's asking us to do. When he says, follow me, He's talking about us following Him mentally, emotionally, spiritually, in every way, doing what He did, becoming who He was, being like Him. Now, the disciples of His day literally did follow Him from place to place. They ate where He ate. They slept where He slept. Now, they walked around with Him wherever He went. Of course, He's not here walking around in that way today. And so we must follow Him by observing what He did and what He taught, learning from that, and becoming like that. So what is that call for us today? Even though we read about His calls there in the New Testament, those weren't all the calls that He made. He still calls us today. We sing songs about it. Jesus is tenderly calling. We sing the chorus from Who at the Door is Standing. He's calling out. He wants us to open to Him. Do we really understand what this calling is meant to be? When He calls us, He's not calling us to church membership. He's not calling us even to just do good deeds and have high moral standards. He's not calling us to open the door of our heart to let Him in. Not those things alone. He's calling us to be His disciple, to learn from Him and be like Him. The tragedy is that so many hear the call. And many want to accept, but they don't know what He's really inviting us to do or to be. And that's one of the reasons that so many don't follow Him. Another reason, of course, is that when they do know what He's inviting them to do, they, like the rich young ruler, go away sad. They don't want to give up that much. They don't want to deny self. They don't want to put self to death. And they don't want to be like Jesus. Because Jesus is just a little too weird for our society today. The way that Jesus lived, the choices that He made, people just can't handle that. But still today, the call to follow Jesus is rooted in His authority, just like it was then. Because He is the Lord and Master, the Son of God, the Creator of the universe, who else should we follow? When we think about John 6:66, many of those who had followed Him after hearing some of His teaching, they quit following Him. It was too hard for them. And Jesus then turns after that in the following verses and He looks at the disciples, the 12, and He says to them, "Are you going to go away also?" And Peter for once has the right answer. You know, a lot of times Peter says the dumb things. But on this occasion, Peter says the right thing. He says, "Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words of life." Jesus' authority as the Son of God, having the words of life, the words that lead to eternal life, has the authority to call, and we need to answer. This power of the invitation is in the one who's extended it. You know, there are probably some things in this world that if the right person asked you, you'd go. But if somebody else asked you, you'd say, not going to do that. Well, Jesus is the right person. And so, even though it's me standing here before you today, understand, I'm not the one calling you to discipleship. Jesus is. I can only join in sharing with you the call that He made to you and to me as well. We need to understand, yes, there are benefits, but there are also costs if we decide to accept the call of Jesus. And our call to follow requires a response. We cannot sit on the fence. We cannot be in the valley of indecision. We have to make the choice. Half-hearted is no better than not at all. Jesus calls on us to follow Him with our whole hearts, our whole soul, our whole mind, all our strength. Jesus never intended for us to be invisible followers. That people wouldn't know. That people would be surprised when we say, "Well, I'm a Christian." They say, "Really, you?" No. Remember, those that were persecuting the followers of Jesus recognized the followers of Jesus. The way they talked, the way they lived, the way they did the things that all people do a little differently because they had been with Jesus gave them away. They didn't have to have a sign or wear a t-shirt or a hat or say, "Well, we're followers of Jesus." People knew it. They recognized it. Jesus doesn't have a secret service. There are no undercover spies in His organization. We all have to be out front about who we are. If we accept that invitation to follow Him wherever He leads, or if we reject His invitation and go away, but make up our minds one way or the other. We can't halfway follow Jesus. You can't stand with one foot in the boat and one foot on the dock. You've got to make a choice which one you're going to do and which one you're going to be. The call to follow Him is a call to be His disciple. It requires denying self. It requires taking up the cross, dying to self, and it requires following Him and becoming like Him. As we conclude, I wanted to share this story. It's not a story of anyone here, but you probably know some people just like it. A woman visited with the elders of the church. They went to visit with her because she had stopped coming to worship and she had quit the church, so to speak. And the reason she gave was because the church didn't meet her needs. And certainly, as fellow Christians, we need to work together to help one another as we have needs. We have that responsibility to minister to each other, to serve each other. And sometimes we fail at that and we lose someone because of that. But the fact that this woman and others would leave the body of Christ indicates that they did not understand the call of Jesus. And I'm afraid that misunderstanding is shared by many in our world today. Jesus does not call us to Him so that our needs can be met. That's not what it's about. He calls us to deny ourselves and be His disciple. He doesn't call us so that we can be served. He calls us to serve. He doesn't call us to follow as long as everything's going well and feels good. He calls us to follow Him, period, Or maybe we should say, exclamation mark. There should be no doubt. We talked in class this morning, however, about the fact that many times we do have some doubts. Fear creeps in and the doubts arise. But even at those times, we have to determine, even when I'm doubting, even when I'm struggling, even when I'm not sure about what's going to happen next, I am sure about the one I'm following, and I'm sure that He knows where He's leading. Jesus calls us to be His disciples. We are to be people committed to being disciples of Jesus. If you accepted that invitation, and many times we accepted it eagerly, and then later we realized, oh, I got more than I bargained for. But we need to be sure that we show up and stand up and follow Jesus and be His disciple. Do what we've agreed to do. Are we self-deniers? Are we cross-bearers? Are we followers of Jesus? The fact is, if we're not bearing our cross, then we're not His disciple, no matter what we call ourselves. And if we're not His disciples, then it really doesn't matter what else we are. Jesus doesn't call us to be religious. He calls us to follow Him. If you're here this morning, I know this didn't paint a real glorious picture of what it means to be a disciple. It's not going to be all downhill coasting. It's hard work climbing up to the top of the mountain. But if you're ready for that challenge, you can do that today. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you're willing to deny yourself, put yourself to death, repent of your sins, confess Him as the Christ, the Son of God, and put Him on in baptism, washing your sins away. You can do that this morning. If you're here and maybe you accepted the challenge, but it's become more challenging than you thought it would be, and you're struggling. Remember, even Jesus struggled with carrying His cross. We can help you to do what is right and to follow Jesus better, but only if you let us know you need that help. If you're here and you have a need to respond to Jesus' invitation to come follow Him, or to follow Him better, whatever the case may be, if you have a need, respond as we stand and sing.